All right, so we have recording turned on unless there's any objections. We've been recording the meetings. This is the October 30th, 2019 meeting for the TOC, for the ORAN software community. Let's go ahead and do roll call. I'm Jack Murray. Jin Ri?
Yes, good morning, Jack. Yeah, this is Jin.
Greetings. David? Don't see him on right now. Masafumi-san?
Yes, hi, I'm here.
Great. William?
Hi, good morning, this is William.
Great. And Vishwa. I don't believe Vishwa's on. No. Okay, so we have we have four members, so we have quorum, so we'll continue with the meeting and move to the next agenda item. Approve the minutes of the previous meeting. So the previous meeting was October 23rd here on the website. There is a recording. Here are the notes. There's some good discussion, a series of votes, and a series of actions. Does anyone have any comments, corrections on the October 23rd meeting minutes? Okay, then can I call for a motion to approve the minutes?
Yeah, Jack, I can make a motion.
Thank you, Jin Ri. Do I have a second?
Hi, this is Masafumi. I can be the second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye. This is Jack Murray saying aye.
Jin saying aye.
Masafumi saying hi.
William say aye.
Thank you. All those against say nay. Okay, so we've gotten the minutes approved. Let's go back to our current meeting. All right, 10:30. And our review of today's agenda. Does anyone have any items to add to our agenda?
Hi, this is John Paul Lane in Ericsson. I just wanted to ask about the presentation in Costa Rica about the open air interface sort of collaboration or the possibility of that, just to find out what the status of it is and what the next plans are. Maybe we can have a brief discussion if there's something to add at the end. If there's no update, maybe we don't need to take it now.
Okay.
It'd be good to know.
Very good. So, Farheen, if you can add that to new agenda items at the end. Okay. Let me go ahead and log in. All right. And let's, any other items to be raised? If not, we'll move on to marketing of the Amber release, work groups, LF, PR. This is a new item we've added specifically because of the because of the we're approaching that time when we have to do our the PR work for the Amber release. And so I guess the question is, does one of the TOC members want to take the lead on getting the PR in place and getting it approved and through both the O-RAN Alliance and Linux Foundation? Go ahead, Jinri.
You go ahead first. Yeah.
No, that's right. That's all I was trying to do is get somebody, for us to agree on who the point people are, and then, who wants to be involved, from a standpoint of contributing to the PR statement versus everybody's work, that we'll share in that process. Go ahead, Jinri.
I just want to say that I would love to help with this. So probably I can give a first shot on the PR job. To be honest, I'm not sure whether I can get the first job out by next week, probably in 2 weeks. But definitely I would love help. And I also need some help from others.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you, Jinri.
Yeah.
So we have a point person. Obviously, I'm happy to help. Is there anyone else who would like to work with Jinri on getting that in place?
Oh, Chuck, I think it's also okay. I mean, if I say have the first draft and have a framework, and I will write down what I can write. And then probably for some content, I can leave the space and then turn to others for the help.
So, all right. Yeah. So then we have a path forward on that. Clearly, part of the what we want to convey is the first release. How the community is currently supporting and who's in. Coming together the community, because this is the first release, as well as what the first release has accomplished, right? And then what Linux Foundation generally doesn't want to do is talk too much about what's in the next release, but we can give them kind of a timetable or something that the next release, maybe give it its name, but they don't like to talk too much because they feel they give out, lose the momentum if you talk too much about it ahead of time.
Yeah, understood. Yes.
Okay. But we certainly different companies who have particularly been involved and made major contributions during this release. This is an opportunity to talk to your PR teams or anyone at your company who may want to release a statement. Typically, PRs do have a couple of statements from companies. So it's an opportunity for people to participate. Make sure your contributions are well represented, not just from a company standpoint, but from a technology standpoint. So if you feel you have some aspects that you want to make sure are covered in this, please drop, Jinri a note and copy the TOC. It would be appreciated. Okay. Let's move on to the next grouping. So we have our open action items. Our first, checking on the status of the B and C naming. I think I can, just to give you an idea, we have some people voting. We just, you know, doesn't give me a summary of how many people have voted, but if you look down the list, we have some votes. Let's see, Beer has two, Blueberry has three, Boysenberry two, looks like Bronze is coming out leading so far with seven, Burgundy with two, so we have, we have some votes. Let's see, modified really should be named. I don't see, let's see, you voted, I'm just looking for the deadline here. I don't, David's on, I don't remember. Does anyone remember when the deadline is for this to close? I thought it was the end of the month. Well, please go, and if you haven't vote, you know, right on the ORAN main link there, you saw where I clicked on it. It'll take you there and vote for the B release. There is also a C release vote going on. Not as many votes, but there are some. I think right now the main is, there's Cherry has seven, Coffee two, Copper four, Cyan two. So please, if you haven't, get your votes in. Farhi, maybe we can confirm when the close date is and send a note out reminding people to vote. It's a pretty easy process. So it's great to have your participation. For those who voted, thank you. All right, any questions on the naming? All right, the PR got added here, but there's a separate item, so I think we already covered that. We're on to Plugfest. Is Martin or Tracy here? Anything new on the Plugfest?
So this is Martin. No, there's nothing new. Everything is kind of in progress. We are setting up to the community lab a couple of VPNs to vendor labs. That's what's currently ongoing there.
Okay. Let's see. Tracy will send out an email to the TOC. We're not going to keep score pass or fail. I'm not sure what that is, Farhin. We probably need to make that more clear or clean it up.
You know? Yeah, just you could just ignore that, Jack. I forgot to cut it out.
Okay. All right. Jinri will upload presentations and minutes under events and wikis for the face-to-face meeting. Jinri, did you have any opportunity to?
Yes, Jack. Just have done. I mean, on the weekend, I already uploaded the material to the wiki. It's under the event page, and I set up a new page called Costa Rica file list, something like that. And then materials are there. But as for the meeting minutes, I'm sorry. So probably I have to do this weekend. Really. Too busy.
Okay.
These days. Yeah.
So, but.
Yes, fire list over this.
Right.
Yes.
So, just it's easy to walk through and show people. There's a lot of things that he's put here. So, that'll help people to go and find it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jinri. Ritwick to reach out. For slides, okay. Ritwick, did you get what you needed? Are they on, now that they're on the website, yep. You good?
Yeah, I think this one can be closed.
Okay, good. Farheen, remind Jack, I want to arrange the events on the ORAN Alliance slides. So we'll continue to work that offline. Tristan, provide a report to Jack around the analytics and contributions for release. Okay, so Tristan talked to the team in Linux Foundation, and there is a the system. They said that they would have it online by the 1st, which is this coming Friday. So they moved us up in the queue. Let's see, is Tristan on?
Yes, Ty. So I think we should have something by next week, since it's Friday.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's then the process of putting it together. I think Lucian and also worked with us in getting the set of repos that we needed to identify.
Right, and so that will basically be a tool. We'll put a link on, you know, the wiki to the tool, and that will basically generate reports for anyone and everyone who wants to look at the current contributions and activities. So that'll give us an independent view of who, where, when, and why. It's from a standard tool. Other projects have used things like Biturgia in the past. This is not that exact same tool, because that tool had a cost associated with it. This is a tool that Linux Foundation has brought online that will be supporting our project. Anything else, Tristan?
It's going to be similar to Biturgia. It's in a early beta stage at this point, so we're getting an early version of it.
Just a very great. Quick question. It's John Paul Lane again from Ericsson. When we say we'll provide the analytics around the contributions of the Amber release, will we provide them going forward on a fairly regular basis, or will we wait till the end of a release to provide the contributions?
No, you can go. I believe the way it works is when you go and you do the tool, use the tool, it looks at the current state of the repos.
Okay.
At that time that you're using the tool. So I believe it should be real-time analysis of the repos. Correct, Tristan?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, great. So we can generate on-demand reports, and depending on the status of the repos at that time, that's the information that will be populated into the report.
Correct. Yeah, and you can divide it up by quarter, monthly, weekly, depending on how you want to time box it.
Okay. And our goal, I guess I saw the comment back from you, Jack. Our goal is to have this preliminary version of this report available by November the 1st?
Next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was the target, that we would get it kind of functioning by the end of this week so it could be available for people to start using next week. But remember, as Tristan said, this is kind of beta early, similar to the CLA when we started using it. You know, it will.
Sure.
There are some bumps.
Yep.
And we'll get them smoothed out.
No, that's great. Thanks very much for providing the information as well, Jack and Trishan. Appreciate it.
Okay. We'll move on and call to action PTLs. Give a status report of the release preparation. Lejean will post the results through a mail list. So are you on, Lejean? I know he may be.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, okay. Jack, I'm here.
Anything here on this action item? Are the PTLs giving the report in preparation for the to help support release preparation?
Yes, it's in progress. During the standing agenda for today, we will review that web page, see where each project is at.
Okay. Good. Then we'll cover it more then. And then our last item, summarize the face-to-face. This was here, you know, carrying any other open items from the face-to-face that haven't been addressed yet. We have, you know, we've gotten the presentations online. We still need some minutes, so I'll leave it here. So just kind of list the outstanding items, Farheen, for going forward. We still have minutes. We have an open item from the meetings to continue to work the discussion with the OAI, Open Air Interface. We also have an action item to work on closing the other TOC slots, but I'll just kind of caution there that closing the remaining TOC slots is a kind of an interaction with the ORAN Alliance. They're the ones that select that process. So it's technically a little more involved there currently. And then is there any other open items from the face-to-face that we need back at this point that we can close out? Go ahead.
No, Chuck, I think it's very complete.
Okay. Anyone else have anything? Okay, so those are the remaining items. Once we close them out, we'll have cleared the face-to-face action items. All right. With that, we'll move on to the standing agenda for the, you know, release management. We'll, you know, we are in the last week of the extended sprint. So we're going to go into a period here where we're going to look to have a freeze on the code contributions. I think, Lijing, you've been, you'll cover things in a little more detail about how the release is going to go, but we've extended the code release because of the first release with, we've talked about this before, but that's coming to a close here at the end of this week. So that will cap our development contributions. We will work towards branching the code and preparing the code for the release at the end of November. So are there any questions? So there will be a window here where, you know, we'll minimize the contributions to the repos so we can do, you know, branch the code and work to have at least the repos that build to a working project, right? There's some repos that are in process that don't really deliver a working project yet. But we'll freeze the repos, make a branch, and that'll become our primary branch. Then we'll move on to the maintenance release window. And then I think, Lijing, you're going to cover that more here. Peter, you raised your hand.
This is Peter from Samsung. As you remember, I have asked about the status of a specific repo from the RIC platform, near real time RIC, especially regarding to E2 interface. So last week we have asked to Thoroff, who is the Peter of near real time RIC, that there is some code cleaned up and nothing else is remained from specific repo in the RIC platform, then due to the legal issue and something like that, then that we have a guidance that those kind of features regarding E2 will be back to Ember release sooner or later. So this week is the last week of the code freeze as described in this roadmap. And if that kind of code functionalities will not be back to the repo, then does E2 interface feature is E2 interface feature included in the Ember release or not? That is my question.
Well, it wouldn't be included in the Ember release, but if I remember correctly, so this is Dora from the PDL. If I remember correctly, you were concerned about the E2 manager or E2 termination, and both of them should now be there. They have been filled, and all data has been copied there again into the repository. I'm just double checking, and they should be there.
Within as a Ember release, right?
They are in the repository. They are in the repository. The code, the source code is there. Yeah. It compiles, so you can use it, and they will be in the Ember release. Yes.
Okay. Thank you for your clarification.
But Sarah, I have one question. So, is there any repos which have been withdrawn because of this legal concern and have not been brought back by so far? Let's say by so far or by freezing code freezing day, November 2nd. Is there any such repo?
Anything that is supposed to be brought back has been already been brought back. A view were okay. Supposed to be permanently deleted, but those that are supposed to be brought back, they are brought back. There is Lusheng, okay. I presume you will talk about this Confluence page as well, where we list all the repos of a project and how mature they are. So we see the status also from that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
All right. Very good. So let's move on. Lixing, is this where you want to cover some of that as part of the test integration planning? Do you want the?
Yeah, sure.
Do you want to share?
Yes, I do. Thanks.
Okay, I'll stop sharing. You can continue.
All right, can people see this web page?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Okay, so this is basically a wiki page created for tracking the status of various older projects that we have, how ready they are for the Ember release. So created this wiki page, excuse me, last weekend and communicated onto the mailing list and the PTLs individually. So really appreciate for all the PTLs that have filled in their information. So we'll just use this time to briefly review where things are. The near real-time RIC app, the PTL has not added information yet. To my understanding, they plan to at least open source two of the, actually maybe three of the XApp near real-time RIC applications to Ember release. But we'll see how they're doing.
Yes, I will update that today, Lusheng. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. So this is for the near real-time RIC, thanks Sorov. So, I mean, from these tables, basically, this the columns really represented here. They are for, you know, what kind of things what kind of bars we need to reach, I think, to be able to call this a release without a red face. So first is, this is really the legal side of requirements, right? We must have the licensing very clearly stated and claimed according to the convention. No proprietary information. Also, some new development is that yesterday, thanks to Linux Foundation's help, they provided the initial scanning, license scanning for all our repos. I will review that in a little bit. So based on that results, they were asking a couple items that needs to be cleared, and I need to add it to this group of columns, but we'll know the details a little bit later. So this is for the licensing and the legal, excuse me. The next column is really for, you know, the code status, right? First, you got to have code. Then we want to have the code buildable, right? So your source code will build into binary artifacts, whether it's a library, it's a package, or it's a Docker container image. And the third one is to integrate it with Linux Foundation's CI, Jenkins-based CI.
Lusheng, is there a way for PTL to check this LFCI integration in a somehow generic way?
Yes. There is a Jenkins webpage that you can view all the automated jobs. So you can check your repos, whether there's a Jenkins job running there, what's the status of the running of those jobs.
Can you add the link to the instructions at the top of this wiki page?
Sure, well, I will do that. Then the third group is the documentation. We want to follow the template that provided by the doc project, the PTL. He did the diligent work to provide us a template. I put this here because this is sort of the where we want to be. That is, all the documentation. This is really the documentation for the developers, for potential developers community. But usually people include some of the documentations for end users as well. I mean, we are not asking for professional tech writer type of generated those kind of professional documentation, but keep in mind, please, that the audience, because it's the open source, right? The audience is the whole open source community, so it's more developer to developer. Just when you're writing this, please keep yourself in the shoes of other developer. Imagine you were also a developer interested in making contribution or interested in using this code, then what kind of information will be useful? Let's put those in there. And ideally, right, if we follow the structure and the template of the documentation project they provided, then they have Jenkins job that would scan your repos, finding those locations that hosting the documentation, then they will build the documentation into a online HTTP, HTML type of read the docs site, website. So over there you can have the documentation presented in a more rich format with graphics, some graphics, not of course not as fancy as commercial websites, but so if we can do this, that means the pipeline is there. In future, we just need to enrich the contents of those documentations, and those CI jobs will automatically update that website using your newest content. So that's for the documentation, and
question here. Same question as the PTL. Can I check this doc buildable in some way already now?
All automated CI jobs, they will be listed on the Jenkins website, Jenkins webpage. Now, whether the doc CI job is online, I still need to follow up with the PTL of the doc project.
Okay, but the easiest way would obviously be to check that once I have committed those structured text files, then they should be visible on this web documentation website relatively quickly. Okay, so
that's the goal, yes.
Okay, but again, very concrete instructions would be good to have for that E2. Right now, I wouldn't know where to check.
Okay. Yes, I work with the Doc Project PTL to provide this information. And the third column in this group, oh, sorry, that was a question.
Oh, this is Li Chen from Doc Project. So I think this is a question about the documentation. I think we already have a RIC dashboard docs as a test project for the documentation page, wiki page, or web page. So I will fix, prepare a guide to every project to know how to do next. So everyone can see this documentation page on the website and test it.
So is there some extra, if you go down a bit, Lusheng, the ASN1 documents, if you can go down a bit. So there is already the docs folder and the structured text files in it. So that's why I marked this last column there as yes, the third last column. Now, I think the thing that was missing is how does that get into the web page?
Yes.
So is there a step missing that developers need to do?
Yes, there is a step to do.
Okay, we need that step in this instructions at the top.
Yeah, so...
Sorry, Lucian. This is Xiaohua. Actually, I'd like to know the doc stuff could be... we are trying to do that after the November 2nd. Is that okay?
I believe so. This is you mean after the code freeze this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I think so.
Okay. Thanks for confirmation.
Sure.
Yeah, I have asked from the respective owners that everything, the first columns there, about the license and so on, that they are filled in by November 4th, and the documentation I have given them 2 more weeks. So.
Yeah.
I think it's reasonable that documentation isn't ready by November 4th.
Right, documentation is, they can be filled in during the those 2 weeks of this period, integration and testing period. That's fine. The third column is for the video demo. So I think it's a PTL's decision whether you want to do a video for the whole project or you want to do it for a number of repos, some repos, or you want to do it for all the repos, because these projects, they vary quite a bit in terms of how they use the repos. So if it's okay with the TOC, I think we can leave this choice to the PTL to decide. Right, but at least one video demo per project.
Yes, I think that the project should decide and represent them and their team and decide how they want to do that. And we'll leave it to them, just guidance, don't just... make sure that there's it's understandable to people, clean and simple. It's okay to have a little fun with it. You've put a lot of work into these projects, but don't turn it into, a grueling activity. Just make it, clean and understandable and useful. And we appreciate whatever you can bring to help, educate people about what you've contributed, but so I think that's a good path forward.
Yes, thank you. I mean, even for just record a terminal session where you type all the commands, just put some voice to it explaining what you are doing. And those kind of videos, they are very helpful in my experience. So that's basically what we're trying to get. While the doc, the written docs mainly there for the developer community, for the end users, this doc is, more, you can imagine this is probably can be viewed if you want to make it fancy, this can become your marketing material or for your management, all those purposes. So, overall, these are sort of the bullet items we need to check for the release. So any questions so far? Okay.
Yes, so for the Jenkins job and the PTL, I did that, or just the Linux Foundation colleague can do that for the project?
No, okay. The question is about the Jenkins job definitions, who's going to do that?
Yes.
Because the Jenkins jobs are defined per repo, right? So really anybody, this is open source, so anybody can define such a job, and the job definitions will be reviewed by Linux Foundation engineers and for acceptance, right? If it's accepted, the jobs will be added to their Jenkins server. Now, who writes the definition? Technically, anybody can. What typically happens is the committers or the PTL writes those job definitions. I don't know if you noticed, there is a repo called CI-management on the Garrett ONSV.org wiki site. the Garrett repo. That is the repo for hosting all the Jenkins job definitions. Let's do this. So the integration and testing meeting following this meeting, I did not put down any real agenda items. Let's make it a tutorial and a Q&A session. So let's bring those kind of detailed questions to that meeting, so I can answer those with more details. How about that?
And Ruxing, do remember to record the meeting. I usually review it afterwards. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I will do that.
Yeah, hi, this is Chris Lott. I can help a little bit with people who get stalled on Jenkins' job. I've been living with this for a little while, so I'll join the 9 o'clock call too.
Thank you very much, Chris. Yeah, Chris has been leading, actually, not only for our project, but many Linux Foundation projects for the CI. When I was asking Andy, okay, what's the procedures to do the releasing, right? And Andy used to say, hey, why don't you ask Chris? He wrote most of those. So, I mean, this is open source, right? So people peer learning, and the contribution just by the whole overall community member, that's what's driving behind the success of the project.
Okay, Lijing, we're at 14 minute mark remaining, just to give you some pacing.
Okay, thank you. I'll go through this rather quickly. A glance of where we are. Near real time RIC platform. There are a lot of repos. It's progressing well, I think. Non real time RIC. Thanks, John. So it's also in progress. There's one repo, a very large repo with lots of code, I would say. For the OEM,
it's in progress. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. OEM, wow. Okay, great. Overrun license Apache 2, very well. This does not need a building. So OCU will update before 11.4, sanctioning ODU high, there's code, lots of yeses, wonderful. ODU low, wow, great. Okay, infrastructure and simulations, okay. Documentation and infrastructure. So anyway, for anybody who's interested in the details, this is the webpage to look into. And for PT, yes.
Excuse me, Lucian, I have a question. The DOC project, I think DOC documentation follows another license, not Apache and Aura.
Right, it's CC4.
Yeah. So so I didn't train, but because I, there's no that license here, there.
Okay. I mean, for the documentation, yeah, you're right. I should have put the CC4 there as well. But you know, you can please feel free to add in the CC4.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. So okay. So TOC, this is where we are. I think we're on a good track to reaching the goals. Now, maybe next week during the TOC meeting, let's re-examine this the status and decide what to go. What's a plan, for example, for repos that having difficulties to reaching all those check marks? What's the plan, right? Do they do we include them in the Ember release, or we just you know, give the shells one more push, ask them to continue, so we can bottom line next by next Wednesday, I think we'll have a much better handle on this one. Okay, now go to the second next item I have, which is the Linux Foundation's scan. Let me just scan results. I think we need to share this. All right. Can people see the spreadsheet now?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. So this is what we, thanks to Linux Foundation for providing this. It's a scanning of all our code regarding license requirement. Some of the items marked as red and yellow, those are those we need to address. Okay. for the attributions, there's also some action items we need to take. Then there are others. We want to address all those issues raised by Linux Foundation scan. Quickly review what those are. Our project charter calls for Apache 2, right? So all our original source code should be under Apache 2. And as you can see, they are, most of them are. There are some which are not yet, that those are the ones we need to talk about. Okay, the next tab, which is a red, that is in our Garrett repo. There are quite a bit of binary files. Looks like those are just compiled Java code files. Maybe it was added by accident, but we do need to remove all the binary files. I mean, Garrett or Git is not a tool for binary files. So Linux Foundation is requiring us not to put binary files in there. So we do need to remove all those. Okay. I will send out details to the related relevant PTLs regarding what needs to be fixed. But here, just talking about what in high level what needs to be done. So the use restriction, there is a file with some statement. We need to handle that. Copy left, those are the licenses that are not friendly for open source. We cannot have that. We need to resolve that. Weak copy left, those are on a similar direction, but not as strong, unfriendly compared to the real copy left here are the things. So I will reach out to the affected PTLs with the details. There are some files with license statements that's not accurate or not as we desired. And attribution, this one, we need the TOC action, actually, because our charter only says Apache 2 or CC4 or the ORAN license. But we do have the practice that we can fork other external projects. And quite often those projects, they are not under Apache 2. BSD and MIT are two of the popular open source license choices. So some of our forked code are based on those code under those licenses. Therefore, we need a TOC's decision on whether it's okay to include code for those files, for files under those licenses. And the two is what would be the convention for inclusion, right? So for example, a rather common practice is you put all those files in a folder with clear marking, such as external, such as vendor, such as third party. That could vary, but bottom line, do not mix those with the code that's original to this ORANSC project, right? So for this list, Jack, I don't know if we want to call for the vote for accepting these licenses. There are BSD, MIT, those are all open source friendly. There's the FAP, I'm not familiar with that, IETF, so X11, so on and so forth. So, but we do need a TOC decision on this.
Yes, so this is, I want a little bit of structure here because it's an exception. And so I would like to, each PTL who is requesting the exception to write up a small, clear statement that they can post on the email asking for the exception. We'll get them all on the agenda and try to deal with them at the next meeting. If they're, you know, basically it should be approved on a case-by-case basis, and it's just one of these things that we want to support the right answer, but we don't want to just leave the door open and, you know, build, have things build to a level of complication. So it should be done consciously when we support other licenses, and we should have a reason to do it. And there are good reasons, and it just should be documented by each PTL so that it's clear what they're asking for. And I'm not saying, you know, write for each repo. You could certainly, like what's on the screen right now, IT test is there. They could write one request, list what the group they're asking for, and explain why. They don't have to write a separate request for each repo, right? And then as things change in the future, they may have to come back and update their request if there's a substantial change from what they've asked for. But it is something we should have some formality about. And we'll probably write up in best practices something about this as we move forward. I see Peter raised his hand. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for your information details. It's very helpful for us to see the detail about the license. Is there any guidance from the ORANSC in terms of this attribution license issue? Because I briefly surfed from the screen that There are several files provided from repos having license like GPL 2.0. And that kind of license, I think, from the open source perspective, some corporation might have some argument or concern or whatever to, you know, use or develop on top of OREM open source software, if that is the GPL 2.0, because it should have some kind of policy to open everything if they employ the any software component having the license of GPL 2.0.
Right, well, that's why we need to have a formal approval. I just didn't want to drag into, at this point of the meeting, an explanation of every license or not. We might have to hold a special meeting, you know, to go through this or deal with it as part of the integration and test, but there are licenses that are more friendly and ones that are not, and we'll get into that discussion. Let's follow that up and have that discussion. Like I said, I don't think we have enough time to go into properly treating it right now, but it is a concern when you're using certain licenses, and that's why this scan is very important. All I can say is this is a very high priority for Linux Foundation and the TOC. We really need to address all of these items for a project to meet completion and release status. So I know it's some work. Please work with Lejing to get these addressed. We'll have meetings on some of the licenses. Certainly, there are some licenses that are more troublesome, and we'll get into that. I just don't want to make a quick statement because it needs a little discussion. That's okay.
Okay.
The robot suit, by the way, those are dual licensed, so they're under MIT and GPL. One question, does this have any effect on the, contributor license agreement, the CLA, because that was signed for the Apache or ORAN license. So I think we really need an instructions how you're supposed to handle these kind of files and what modifications to them, under what license modifications to them are handled.
Okay, let's get that on our list of things to address. These are the kind of things that, being the first release, where, you know, a lot of the people will experience new for the first time. And hopefully going forward, we'll be more clear about how to handle these things. But let's work through the process. We're coming to the end of our hour here. Let's get these issues raised and we'll get them addressed.
Do we get this file immediately available, or?
Yeah, we can forward to the PTOs.
Okay.
All right, two more tabs to go. The other, I think to my understanding, the ASM1C will not go to the release. Is that right?
Yeah, we plan to put that directly on GitHub.
Okay, so those will be resolved already. Anyway, there are GPLs, GPLs little delicate to handle, and then we'll address those in the specialized meeting for those. There's the last big category is no license found. This we need to address that. Basically, similar practice. That is, if it's a file originated from this project, then it should carry the proper license header, license claim. If it is a file that's from an external project, it's okay not to put it, but we need to clearly mark those files. For example, putting them under a an external folder. So we, for all these are the items, action items from Linux Foundation. Like I said before, I will communicate with the HPTLs that's impacted by this scan results. And we do need to address this as soon as possible. As Jack mentioned, this is a higher priority item. Okay, with that, I will stop here. And the next meeting following this, integration and testing, we'll use that as Q&A and technical discussion sessions for addressing all the release-related questions. So, all right, thank you, Jack, that's it.
Okay, so I know that took a bunch of time. That was a critical item to kind of cover at this stage of the release planning. I'll just ask, does any of the PTLs have anything major they want to raise at this point in time?
If nobody else has, I have one.
Okay.
Okay, so we touched on this, I think, a bit earlier, but the there was a vote 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago on postponing the code freeze to November 4th. Now, the last sentence here, I'm not sure how to interpret this, and I would like to get a confirmation. Is it now so that the November 4th, we have the code freeze, then we have a 2 week cycle on which we only accept bug fixes to the master branch. And only after this, the master, we can again put new capabilities, new features into it. Is that the idea? So the key question is, when do we branch off the maintenance Amber branch?
Okay. Lijing, I believe that's going to occur that week of the 18th to the 23rd. I put up the calendar.
Yeah, it's always in this release preparation period. I think because, you know, different repos, they really advance at a very different pace. I think I'm okay if after a repo is completed, it's a release check, check items. And if the repo is reviewed by TOC and the integration team and considered good, okay to release, then perhaps we should be okay for either the PTL or the repo committer, repo owners to branch within this 3 week period. So this way they have a landmark there and they can move the master branch forward. I don't know if this practice is okay with the TOC. The reason is some of the teams, they think we're doing a really great job. We completed all the needed tasks for Ember. We want to start next phase as soon as possible.
So Lijing, I would try to say that we're going to do it during this week. These next 2 weeks, I think, you're going to focus on cleaning up all the licensing issues and documentation. You may find things that people need to tweak, not really as much code development, but just getting things right. So I would probably say that I'm not completely against the fact that if someone's all done, that, you know, they branch because they're done. But I suspect right now that most of them are going to need a couple weeks of cleanup on some of the other issues before we branch. So, but the worst case window is the week of the 18th and the 23rd. That's really when this should happen, if that's okay. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay.
Do we have instructions how to create this maintenance branch for every repo?
You can use a carry GUI. It's very straightforward.
Okay.
What needs to be done is we need to define the CI jobs for building the artifacts such as the Docker image from the release branch.
Okay.
I will work with Chris on that.
Yeah, we can cover that in the next meeting. I just want to, is there, Ritwick, is there anything you have for today?
No, we took care of your request, at least. I know David Kinsey hosted the call last night to accommodate your new requirements that you want for the second use case. The first use case is still being worked out. We're having meetings with different PTOs. That's all from our side.
Okay. Are they well documented on your website?
They're on the spreadsheet, and the spreadsheet was uploaded. I saw David Kinsey uploaded it last night. So at least we have something there, with the second use case, EPIC.
Yeah, we not only put them in the spreadsheet, but we added a Word document with a sequence diagram showing how they run end-to-end.
All right. So if I go, I'm on the website, I say, there needs to be a clear thing that says go here for B release requirements, and then, take them wherever they need to be. But I want to make sure that even casual visitors can clearly see
You have to have a login. You have to have a login in order to get into the RSAC committee pages. Do you want it to be more public?
Does anyone have a concern? I mean, this is a Linux Foundation login. Does anyone have a concern with that?
We can put it outside, if you like, outside of the login page.
I think there should be at least a simple overview outside of the login page.
Yeah, I think that's okay. So, Jay, I do have one concern. I mean, I prefer to keep it inside, but I agree that we can have a simpler version for outside. So the main reason is that when we develop this epics, I believe that there will be many interaction with the working groups from Orion Alliance. And I'm not sure, some information there probably is a bit sensitive.
Okay, we'll create maybe a high level document that shows everything. Yeah.
Right. Well, just kind of what you're trying to do and an overview, and then they have to log in to edit your or contribute to your documents. Typically, how? All right.
Okay.
Anyone else?
So, Richard, very quick. What is the second use case?
This is each component should be able to be stood up on its own, and it has a heartbeat check, and it should be able to do some functional use test cases. So that you can,
So think of it as a self check, or kind of hello world thing where it simply comes up, and you make sure it's built and it's working and it can talk. And run a self-check. So this is kind of our baseline thing, so that when you deploy the system, you should be able to run, the health check and make sure all the components are installed and working without detailed, extensive knowledge on each component. So
it's kind of our simple
baseline use case, that this is what we should maintain going forward, so that we know all the pieces work. All right?
Okay, Sting,
Okay. Let's just see. We are a little over. I think unless someone has any, I'll just ask, does anyone have any other items to raise at this point in time? Okay.
We never went over the original ask for the face-to-face. What is the status of the face-to-face, the new agenda item from earlier in the meeting? Should I add it to next week's agenda?
I think we covered the face-to-face up above when, what is the, you know, under four, it says, what's the status of the face-to-face items? You were going to add the outstanding items that were remaining. Okay. So I thought we already had covered that.
That's fine.
I guess I raised the question about the interaction with OAI. So what's the status of that and what's the future plans? And maybe we shouldn't take it here today. If it can go on to the wiki or if there's information that we can share.
So that slides have been already uploaded. Yeah, you can find it in the slide that I've already uploaded.
Right. They provided us the slides and really nothing else has happened yet.
Yeah.
We need some guidance from the ORAN legal team is kind of the next step to understand what the issues are from a licensing standpoint. As we talked about in the meeting, we weren't the legal experts. We have to understand if and what the legal concerns would be first from them. So that's the next step.
Okay.
And now that we only got the slides really this week, so now I can share them with them and we can begin that discussion. But, you know, it's whenever we go to the legal team, it takes some time. There's a primary contact, Stefan, but there are, you know, it's a kind of working group. And so getting everybody, you know, synced up and working and feedback takes a little bit of time. So we'll begin that process.
Do you know, Jack, if that ORAN legal team, do they seek input or from the various members of the ORAN? Is it the Alliance or is it both the Alliance and the OSC or how do they?
The Alliance has their group, and then I pull in experts from the Linux Foundation when we're at a point where we can lay it out and get their input into the process to make sure we don't violate any of their principles and guidelines as well. So it's usually that two-step process. There's Scott Nicholas from the Linux Foundation is typically there. Legal representative that we work with from there. So, but we first work through the ORAN Alliance legal team. Those are the two legal groups that we work with that help.
Okay. And one very last question then from the ORAN Alliance side, did you name the person who was in the legal team or who coordinates at that level? Can you say again who that person was?
The lead is Stefan. Chinri, what's Stefan's last name?
It's very hard to remember.
Stefan, okay.
Stefan.
If you find him, maybe if you can pull
a second. Engel Fleshing, ENGEL-FLECHSIG.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, guys.
So he has what I'll do is he has an ORAN email that you should send things like this to that, you know,
okay.
He's got it outside. Let me post that in
So actually, if you like to have the contact of Stefan, you can drop me an email and I will forward his contact.
Okay, I'm just going to put it in the, chat window.
Oh, the chat. Yeah. Okay, good.
Perfect. Thanks, Jack.
And also, if you have any ideas on the collaboration proposal, just feel free to reach us. I mean, Jack and me. So I believe that next week there will be the EC, an ORAN leadership meeting, and I believe that this collaboration will be one of the key topics there. So just show us any message they like.
Okay, which meeting is that, Jimmy? Can you say again, next week?
It's executive committee meeting.
Executive committee.
So yeah.
For ORAN Alliance.
Okay, perfect.
Yes, yeah. So by the way, who is speaking?
It's John Paul Lane from Ericsson.
Okay, good, thank you.
Okay, so with that, I'll ask one last time, does anyone else have anything they need to raise before we end the TOC meeting and I hand off to the integration meeting? Okay, with that, we will close and end this meeting. Thank you today.